Hi, Dr. Pinsky, dictating a female IME, which is a rush report. If you can turn it around quickly, that would be great. The name is Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-I-N, Peterson, P-E-T-E-R-S-O-N. As you know, I previously evaluated Ms. Peterson as described in my report of 10-26-16. Period. Since that time, she received an order approving settlement on 2-22-18. Period. This was in the amount of 30% of the lumbar spine for the orthopedic residuals of herniated the lumbar disc at L4-5 and L5-S1. Comma postoperative state for right L5-S1 microdiscectomy and left L4-5 microdiscectomy. Semicolon postoperative MRI scan had evidence of a protruding disc in the lumbar spine at L5-S1 with annular tear, and a bulging disc in the lumbar spine at L4-5 with retrolisthesis at L5-S1. Period. She then applied for a reopener on 6-13-19. Period. Within that, she supplied answers to interrogatories. Period. She reported she had interim treatment at Reclaim Ability Pain Services, Sure Physicians and Integrity Physical Therapy. Prepared to receive physical therapy and injections as well as a CAT scan. Period. New paragraph. Ms. Peterson is now a 34-year-old woman who again alleges she injured her lower back at work on 6-18-12. Period. She was helping a coworker with a patient who was having a seizure and was unresponsive. Period. As a result, she believes she injured her lower back, but did not go to the emergency room afterwards. Period. She had further evaluation leading to a diagnosis of herniated discs and nerve pain. She underwent surgery involving discectomy at L4-5 and L5-S1 in October 2013. She denies any subsequent injuries to the involved areas. She completed a course of active treatment in 2022. New paragraph. Medical records show the petitioner was seen at Cape Regional Emergency Room on 4-16-18. After having been in a motor vehicle collision, appeared she was the restrained driver, but did not have loss of consciousness or head pain. Appeared she had chest pain from the seat belt. Appeared she denied numbness, abdominal pain, headache, neck or back pain, dizziness at the time of the exam. Period. She was evaluated, including a chest x-ray that showed no active pulmonary disease, period. She was found to be neurologically intact and had tenderness at the anterior left chest. Period. There was no description of injury to the spine, period. She was medicated with Toradol prior to discharge for diagnoses of left chest wall contusion and lumbar sacral back pain, period. She had cervical spine x-rays on 4-18-18 that were done for a history of motor vehicle accident 2 days prior and complaining of generalized neck pain. This was ordered by Dr. Abraham. Period. It showed no evidence of fracture or malalignment. Period. New paragraph. The petitioner was seen on 4-23-18 by Dr. Terrells, T-E-R-R-E-L-S, with residual chest and neck pain since the motor vehicle accident. Parrish had already been at this facility on 4/18/18. Parrish was taking cyclobenzaprine and ibuprofen. The patient was provided with a note to remain out of work until reevaluated. However, we are not in receipt of the entire progress note from this visit. New paragraph. On 4/26/18, Ms. Peterson was seen orthopedically by Dr. Annapol. He noted she was hit by a woman turning into her lane as she was going through the intersection. She was the restrained driver who was struck on the front driver's side fender. She went to the ER where she was treated and released. She went to urgent care on 4/18/18 and then on 4/23/18. She was experiencing neck pain with numbness, tingling, and burning into both arms. She related already having bulging discs in her upper back. She had a cervical spine MRI in 2013 and was treated by pain management with injections. She claimed to have been asymptomatic at the time of the current motor vehicle accident. Upon exam, she had decreased range of motion about the cervical spine. Exam of the lower back did not show any tenderness, deformity, or injury. Range of motion was unremarkable, and there was no gross instability. Strength and tone were normal. He noted the cervical spine x-rays from 4/18/18. He also reviewed an MRI from 2/12/15, along with the radiologist's report, showing at C4-5 a tiny left paracentral disc herniation contacting the cervical spinal cord without cord compromise. He also reviewed previous records from the lumbar spine. Relative to the motor vehicle accident, he diagnosed cervical sprain, comma, traumatic rupture of intervertebral disc at C4-5, comma, cervical radiculopathy, comma, and pain in both shoulders. He was referred for physical therapy and was prescribed ibuprofen. She participated in physical therapy on the dates described. Her progress continued to be monitored by Dr. Annapol. On 6/4/18, he had her undergo a cervical spine MRI that was compared to a prior report of 2/12/15. SE3-4, there was mild disc bulging with superimposed left paracentral disc herniation impinging upon the anterior thecal sac, semicolon. C4-5, left paracentral disc herniation impinging upon the anterior thecal sac, superimposed on mild disc bulging, semicolon. C5-6, right paracentral disc herniation effacing the anterior thecal sac and impinging upon the cervical spinal cord, semicolon. C6-7, disc bulging impinging upon the anterior thecal sac. Dr. Annapol reviewed these results with her. On 6/20/18, she had completed 14 sessions of therapy and was 0% better. He performed an exam and noted the results of the cervical MRI. He then referred her to a pain management specialist. Dr. Annapol actually saw her again on 8/1/18. He gave her a physician-guided exercise program, and she was to continue therapy and follow through with pain management. At his visit on 9/12/18, she remained symptomatic with pain in the neck, upper back, and both shoulders. She had a cervical spine injection that resulted in slight improvement in her occipital pain, but not her other neck and left arm pain. period. She again reported being 0% better since the last visit period. Dr. Annapole referred her for another course of therapy and to follow up with pain management. Period. New paragraph. New paragraph on 6/4/18, she underwent On 6/27/18, Ms. Peterson was seen by a pain management nurse practitioner named Ms. Jones, complaining of neck pain to both shoulder blades and her left arm. This began after a motor vehicle accident on 4/16/18. Period. She performed an exam and noted the cervical spine x-rays and MRI from 2/12/15. Period. She diagnosed chronic pain syndrome, comma, long-term use of opiate, comma, cervicalgia, comma, cervical disc degeneration and displacement with cervical radiculopathy. Period. She ordered a cervical epidural steroid injection. Period. On 8/22/18, she was seen by nurse practitioner Hewlett, H-E-W-L-E-T-T, in the same office. Period. Her epidural injection was pending. Period. She followed up again on 9/19/18, status post the injection. Period. She reported only 5% relief of the back of her neck pain. Period. She had 50-70% pain relief from non-narcotic pain medication for about 4 to 6 hours with improved functioning. Period. She takes Flexeril. Period. She had been in the emergency room for low back pain and was given Percocet. Period. She states the case for her lower back is not open. Period. She stated, quote, "I want to keep them separate." Period. End quote. Ms. Jones thought she would benefit from another cervical epidural steroid injection. Period. On 8/23/18, such an injection was administered by Dr. Thalassinos. Period. In the paragraph, the petitioner was seen on 11/16/18 by neurosurgeon Dr. Glass. Period. Despite all the treatment she had received, she had ongoing neck pain with left upper extremity radicular pain. Period. She had a history of spontaneous onset of neck pain in 2015, for which she received non-surgical care with improvement of her symptom complex and significant worsening following the 4/16/18 motor vehicle accident. Period. She also had undergone lumbar discectomy in 2013, which resulted in, quote, "resolution of radicular pain but ongoing axial low back pain." Period. End quote. Dr. Glass recommended further treatment based upon the results of the cervical MRI. Period. She returned to him on 1/10/19 when they again discussed treatment options. Period. She had recently changed pain management specialists. Period. New paragraph. On 1/7/19, she was seen by pain specialist Dr. Domsky, D-O-M-S-K-Y, with left arm numbness and tingling. Period. He noted the mechanism of injury and that she had undergone one epidural injection, but the second one was denied by Dr. Antebi, A-N-T-E-B-I. Period. She had not been responsive to conservative care or the first injection. Period. She was going to follow up with Dr. Glass the following week for consideration of surgery. Period. She was being seen with her 1-year and 9-year-old daughters. Period. She could not perform her job duties as a CNA. Period. She was thought to have new C3-4 and C4- I'm sorry, C3-4 and C6-7 bulges, gamma C4-5 and C5-6, herniated nucleus pulposus with a prior tiny protrusion at C4-5. Period. He then continued her on scratch that. She followed up regularly, such as on 1/14/19. Period. She related being told by Dr. Glass that surgery was not advised at this time. Period. After exam, Dr. Domsky rendered diagnosis of long-term current use of opiate analgesic, comma, chronic pain syndrome, comma, lumbar radiculopathy, comma, history of a lumbar laminectomy, comma, chronic pain due to trauma, comma, cervical radiculopathy, comma, and cervical herniation, period. Per your cover letter, she was seen by Dr. Domsky on 5/31/18, reporting pain in the lumbar spine into the right hip and leg. Appears she had a positive Sperling's test that replicates radiating arm pain with left side loading and right side loading. Appears there was no abnormal curvature or deformity. Appears she had tenderness on palpation of the lumbar spine of the paraspinal muscles and transverse processes. Appears there was tenderness of the musculature. Appears extension produces pain. Appears lumbar facet loading sign was positive bilaterally. Appeared straight leg raise maneuver was negative, and straight leg raise maneuvers was unlimited on both sides. Period. She was treated by Dr. Domsky and her colleagues over the next many months with various medications and injections for the neck. Period. Such treatment was rendered through 4/10/20, period. She was seen by Dr. Custer on 1/15/20, period. In terms of her lumbar spine, he noted she had ongoing low back pain from an old workers' compensation injury in 2012. Appeared she had recently seen Dr. Kralik, K-R-A-L-I-C-K, who recommended fusion at L4 through S1. Appeared she needed to reopen her workers' compensation case for this that was pending. Appeared she had bilateral lower extremity radicular symptoms on the right, more so than the left. She had lumbar surgery for this in 2013 by Dr. Mitchell. Appears she is also status post right sacroiliac joint injection on 4/10/19 with a little relief. Appears she had a caudal injection on 7/9/19 without relief. Period. She had seen Dr. Glass in the past who did not recommend surgery. Appears she saw Dr. Kralik who recommended fusion surgery due to instability, period. However, because this involved the lower back, her workers' compensation case needed to be reopened, period. She saw Dr. Domsky through 4/10/20. When her subject, the complaints and physical exam were similar to those previously documented, period. She was prescribed a TENS unit and to continue Norco, comma, Flexeril, comma, Robaxin, comma, and Mobic, period. She was counseled relative to the appropriate use of her opiate and other medications. Period. On 4/19/19, she had a lumbar spine MRI compared to the MRI of 2/12/15. Period. We will insert As marked, since there are several references to see above. On 7/9/19, Dr. Haleem, H-A-L-E-E-M, performed a lumbar caudal epidural steroid injection. Period. This was done under fluoroscopy. Period. New paragraph on 8/28/19, Ms. Peterson was seen by Dr. Kralik. She was on several medications, including cyclobenzaprine, diazepam, gabapentin, hydrocodone, acetaminophen, meloxicam, and promethazine DM. Period. She admitted to numbness and tingling in both legs, but no leg weakness. Period. She also had back pain. Period. She accomplished limited ambulation. Period. Her strength was normal. Period. Her gait was wide-based and waddling, but she was otherwise neurologically intact. Period. The thoracolumbar appearance showed normal curvature. Period. He thought her symptoms may be consistent with musculoskeletal etiology of pain. Period. He referred her for flexion extension x-rays to rule out spondylolisthesis that might be causing her back pain symptoms. Period. She relates having lost 85 pounds with no improvement of her lower back pain. Period. She did undergo lumbar flexion extension x-rays on 9/5/19 that showed no acute fracture. Period. There was moderate disc base narrowing at L5-S1. Period. She had subtle retrolisthesis at L2-3 and L3-4 with no evidence for instability with flexion or extension at that level. Period. However, there was subtle interolisthesis at L4-5 on flexion, becoming less evident with neutral and extension, suggesting mild instability. Period. At the L5-S1 level, there was also facet hypertrophy. Period. She was seen in this office also by Dr. Feinberg, F-E-I-N-B-E-R-G. Period. She was being referred for another CAT scan of the lower back. Period. She underwent this study on 9/26/19 to be inserted as with the impressions period as compared to a study of 4/19/19. Period. She was treated again by Dr. Haleem on 11/5/19 for a cervical medial branch block. Period. Ms. Peterson continued to be followed by Dr. Kralik over the ensuing months into 2020. Period. On 9/20/19, he commented her best chance of improvement would be laminectomy from L4 through S1 with interbody fusion. Period. She was going to follow up once she sought a surgical solution to her problem. Period. When she saw Dr. Feinberg on 10/3/19, it was opined that most of her leg pain is not coming from her veins, but she had an underlying spine or knee problem. Period. She actually followed up with Dr. Kralik through 2/24/21. Period. He again noted she had anterior cervical discectomy and fusion on 7/21/20 and lumbar spine surgery at 04 L5 S1 on 1/1/13. Paired sheet remains symptomatic with back and neck pain radiating from the neck, base of the neck to the middle of her shoulder and then into her left arm. Period. Her cervical radiculopathy symptoms had improved, but she had not undergone physical therapy. Perichy was referred for same as well as x-rays in 3 months. Perichy notes social issues regarding disability for her low back pain. Perichy recommended keeping people out for 3 months and then she returns to work. Perichy, however, if she went back to work earlier, that is quite possible. Perichy, however, she did not want to go back to work as a CNA. Her symptoms of left-sided radiculopathy are resolved, but she still has a feeling of warmth in the right hand. Period. He again referred her for physical therapy, but she did not do it before since she had, quote, mental issues, period, end quote. As she has new symptoms into her right arm and failed physical therapy, he sent her for another cervical spine MRI to see if there was a compressive lesion giving rise to cervical radiculopathy, period. Other diagnoses listed were low back pain, lumbar spondylolisthesis, and lumbar radiculopathy, for which he did not make any specific recommendations, period. Her medication list now included amitriptyline, cyclobenzaprine, diazepam, dicyclamine, meloxicam, methocarbamil, Narcan nasal spray, and Vasculera, V-A-S-C-U-L-E-R-A, for her veins, period. She was re-instructed about back care and preventing injuries, period. New paragraph. I'm not sure if we did the lumbar spine x-rays from 9/5/19 that showed no acute fracture. Period. There was moderate disc space narrowing at L5-S1. Period. The spondylolisthesis findings were already noted and described from these x-rays, period. On 9/12/19, she was seen by general surgeon Dr. Feinberg regarding her varicose veins, period. She was referred for a venous duplex ultrasound of the lower extremities, period. She returned on 10/3/19 and had a large cluster of spider and reticular veins in the right lateral calf, scattered varicosities bilaterally at about 1 centimeter in the medial left calf, period. She had an updated CAT scan of the lumbar spine on 9/26/19 compared to a study of 4/19/19, period. Insert those results here. New paragraph. On 7/14/20, she underwent a chest x-ray that showed no distinct acute pulmonary disease. Okay, this was a preoperative evaluation for her cervical spine fusion. Period. On 7/21/20, Dr. Kralik did perform surgery as marked, including the procedure and postoperative/preoperative diagnosis, period. She was discharged from the hospital the following day, period. New paragraph. Dr. Custer referred her for a lumbar MRI on 10/19/20 due to pain. Period. It was not specifically compared to any prior studies. Period. At L3-4, there was disc bulging, flattening the thecal sac with inferior bilateral neuroforaminal narrowing, semicolon. L4-5, disc bulging, flattens the thecal sac with inferior bilateral neuroforaminal narrowing, comma, disc material abuts the exiting nerve roots, semicolon. L5-S1, grade 1 retrolisthesis, semicolon, 3 millimeter right paracentral herniation along with a disc bulge. Here the findings flatten the thecal sac more towards the right side with inferior bilateral neuroforaminal narrowing. Here there was facet joint hypertrophy and fluid. Period. On 12-4-20, she underwent an evaluation by Dr. Becan, B-E-C-A-N, period. He wrote that due to her increasing low back and right radicular symptoms, she should return to Dr. Kirshner, period. She was in need of a repeat lumbar laminectomy, comma, discectomy, comma, and decompression at L4-5 and L5-S1 with spinal fusion using spinal instrumentation and bone grafting due to her significant increase in symptoms which have not responded to conservative treatment. But he then deferred the impairment rating pending these recommendations. Period on 3-11-21, she had another cervical spine MRI to be inserted. Period. New paragraph. On 12-9-21, she was seen by neurologist Dr. Tinkelman, also at the referral of her attorney. Period. He diagnosed chronic lumbar pain with disc herniation and radiculopathy. Period. He thought she should have another neurosurgical / orthopedic opinion in regards to the possible L4-5 and L5-S1 lumbar fusion. Period. She scratched that. Dr. Kirshner gave an addendum report on 125-22, having reviewed the report of Dr. Tinkelman. Period. Dr. Kirshner was able to re-review the lumbar spine MRI done in 2020, but it showed no evidence of nerve or thecal sac impingement or irritation, but there were no objective findings to substantiate the complaints of pain, common numbness, common tingling, common and weakness of her lower extremities. But in addition, although there was evidence of degenerative disc disease, it was mild. But there was evidence of disc desiccation, but no evidence of disc space narrowing and no evidence of osteophyte formation. But he concluded additional surgical treatment, specifically lumbar fusion surgery, is not recommended for this patient. Period. New paragraph, she underwent a physiatric evaluation by Dr. Paul on 9-14-22. Period. He elicited a comprehensive history dating back to her original lumbar spine injury on 9-14-22, period. He also mentioned the motor vehicle accident on 4-16-18, period. His overall diagnoses were lumbar spondylosis with radiculopathy, period. He noted having treated her back in 2013 with injections. Period. He noted those did not provide significant lasting relief, so she underwent the left L4-5 and right L5-S1 decompression by Dr. Mitchell. Period. She completed therapy for her lumbar spine and prior to and following the lumbar surgery. But she was then involved in a motor vehicle accident on 4-16-18. She reported to him she injured her cervical spine and had neck pain with upper extremity complaints, but did not, an underlying not, injure her lumbar spine in this motor vehicle accident. Appears she did, nevertheless, treat with pain management specialist Dr. Kralik for her lumbar spine following this motor vehicle accident. Appears she underwent cervical injections and then surgery with Dr. Kralik on 7/21/20. Appears she completed further therapy on the lumbar spine following the motor vehicle accident. Appears she had lumbar injections, including a right sacroiliac joint and a caudal epidural injection. Appears she also had numerous lumbar injections, all without lasting significant relief. Appears she did not recommend any further lumbar injections. Appears she was also not interested in pursuing any further injections, as she does, quote, not want a Band-Aid, period, end quote. She also expressed to Dr. Domsky at her appointment with him on 5/31/19, she was not interested in pursuing further injections as she had not received relief with the injections she had. Period. Dr. Paul did not recommend further physical therapy, but she could continue to perform home exercises. Period. He wrote she continued to treat with Reclaim Ability for chronic medical pain management following the motor vehicle accident of 4/16/18 that was not related to the work injury of 6/18/12. But from his standpoint, she had reached maximum medical improvement for pain management in regard to that accident. Period. He did not recommend lumbar injections or physical therapy. Period. Physical exam. General appearance. She had excessive adipose tissue throughout. Period. This was present on both the upper and lower extremities. Extremities upper normal, extremities lower. Internal and external rotation of the right hip elicited extreme complaints of low back pain. Period. This was not present on the left. Period. Motion of the hips, knees, and ankles was otherwise full in all spheres with a crepitus or tenderness. Period. Spine cervical. She had a pair of right anterior cervical scars consistent with her surgery of a preserved lordotic curve. Period. Active flexion was 20 degrees, comma, extension 25 degrees, comma, rotation right 70 degrees and left to 60 degrees, with side bending right 20 degrees and left to 30 degrees, period. She was mildly tender to palpation about the left paravertebral musculature in the absence of spasm, but there was none at the trapezii or in the midline. Period. The rest of that is normal. Thoracic, normal, lumbosacral. She was able to stand on her heels and toes, period. Her lumbar scar was hardly visible since it was blended in with her tattoo. Period. She sat comfortably at 90 degrees lumbar flexion, but actively flexed to 30 degrees, complaining of tenderness. Period. Extension, bilateral rotation, and side bending were accomplished fully. Period. She was tender to palpation along the waistline transversely. Period. The rest of that part is normal. Supine straight leg raise maneuver on the right at 50 degrees and left at 40 degrees. Each elicited only low back tenderness without radicular complaints. Compare the rest of that section is normal. Impressions. Christian Peterson was injured at work on 6/18/12, as described in my prior report. Period. And underline this, I may mark what will be inserted here from my prior report, or just refer to it. Period. New paragraph since evaluated here, she received an order approving settlement. Period. She then reopened her claim. Period. The settlement was on 2/22/18. Period. She then was involved in a motor vehicle accident on 4/16/18. Period. She completed physical therapy for the motor vehicle accident on 6/5/19. Period. She then reopened her claim relative to the subject event on 6/13/19. Period. The timing and bridging of these injuries and treatment is curious. Period. New paragraph. She did undergo additional diagnostic testing and treatment, not only to her cervical spine, but also to the lumbar spine, after the motor vehicle accident. Apparently there was some discussion about pursuing multi-level fusion surgery, but this was not undertaken. Period. From what I can recall, there was no substantive objective worsening of her lower back diagnostics to a material degree. Period. Any paragraph. My opinions relative to permanency will be the same as marked in my earlier report. And that is the end.